The president is about to lay out the case for free market reform in Arab nations.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At any moment now, the president is going to give a major speech at the State Department on reforms in the Middle East. It's just a day after the U.S. government and the Obama administration imposed economic sanctions on Syria's president for a crackdown against citizens seeking a change in government in that country. Chrysler today will reportedly announce it's gotten enough private financing to pay back Uncle Sam. The automaker took billions of dollars in loans from the U.S. and from the Canadian government as well at the height of the financial crisis. Now, those loans, coupled with investments from Italian carmaker Fiat, helped Chrysler out of bankruptcy. And payback could set the stage for an even bigger Fiat role going forward. Elisa Priddle reports on the auto industry for the Detroit News, and she's with us now from the Motor City. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is Chrysler planning to pay these government loans back?
They're swapping government loans for bank loans, but the crucial part of that is that there was very high interest on the government loans, and they are refinancing with financial institutions that will give them better rates. And they said all of last year that the only reason they didn't have a net profit was the interest on their loans. So this is a really big deal.
Is private money going to have anything to do with this?
I mean, it's going to be, you know, hedge funds, banks, that kind of thing. And they're also getting a big chunk of money from their partner, Fiat, because Fiat wants to buy a bigger stake in Chrysler. So they'll give them about $1.3 billion for that as well.
Fiat gets a bigger stake, and it's well known, and Fiat's made it well known, that they want a majority stake in Chrysler, right?
Exactly. And they should have their 51% by the end of this year.
Besides a majority stake, what else could Fiat get out of all this?
For Fiat, they are returning to the U.S. market, so Chrysler is the perfect platform that allows them to do that. Fiat's a small car specialist, so they also get minivans and pickups and all the vehicles they don't have. And conversely, Chrysler gets entry into Europe and into South America and gets small cars and small engines. So they're a very nice fit.
What does it mean for Chrysler to be off of government support?
I think that it's a psychological thing as much as anything. There's a lot of people out there who have not wanted to buy vehicles from Chrysler or GM because of the bailout. So I really think that it's just how people perceive the company as much as anything.
Elisa Priddle with the Detroit News. Elisa, thanks.
Thank you.
The Japanese government reported today its economy shrank by an annual rate of 3.7% in the first 3 months of the year. And while the aftermath of the recent earthquake and tsunami makes up less than a month of the quarter, the natural disasters, of course, are playing a huge role in the contraction. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us now from Tokyo with the latest. Hi, Roland.
Hi, Steve.
Obviously, the earthquake wreaked a lot of havoc on the country, but it's been in recession three times now in the past decade. How was the economy doing without the disaster?
Well, it was actually clawing back. It was getting better. But the earthquake and the tsunami destroyed factories. It snapped supply chains. It crippled production in the country. It made consumers, even in places that weren't affected, cut back because they were so shocked by the catastrophe. And in fact, consumer spending fell in March at its steepest rate on record. So it's all added up to Japan having two quarters of declining economy and going back into recession.
Roland, does the Japanese government have the wherewithal to pull itself out of recession? I mean, it's already poured so much money into the economy anyway, right?
Well, certainly it's going to cost a lot to rebuild in the Northeast. That's money that has to be spent. As you say, Japan does already have a massive public debt, but that spending's going to have to happen. That should help the economy to recover towards the end of the year. The problem is going to be over the next few months, because the disaster at the Fukushima nuclear plant means there's likely to be electricity shortages over the summer, and that, of course, could hamper production too.
All right, the BBC's Roland Burke joining us from Tokyo. Roland, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are off about 0.2% for the S&P and NASDAQ. The Dow is flat right now at 12,558. Japanese shares lost a little ground today because of the recession news. The government reports the number of people filing for first-time jobless benefits fell last week by 29,000. And sales of previously owned homes fell about 0.8% in April.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Katie Couric anchors the CBS Evening News tonight for the last time. During her near five-year run, ratings have stayed in the cellar there. So why does CBS think Couric's replacement, Scott Pelley, will do any better? And why are the networks still trying to make money with news programs? Here's reporter Sally Herships.
News is cheap.
You don't have to pay actors, you don't have to do sets, you don't have to write scripts.
John Greening teaches advertising at Northwestern University in Chicago. Greening says news is much cheaper to produce than a police drama and still attracts big general audiences. Nielsen Ratings says network news pulls in almost 18 million viewers a night, including deep-pocketed, aging baby boomers.
It's part of the reason why when you watch network news, you feel like you've taken a trip to your medicine cabinet.
Greening says a big chunk of evening news ads are for medications. Leonard Lodish teaches marketing at Wharton. He says advertisers choose news because they're hoping some of its respectability and trust will rub off on their products.
The environment that someone sees an ad in can influence their response to the ad.
Greening says even though ratings may be down, ad rates are not. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, much has been made over the past few years about President Obama's place of birth. Well, now the Obama reelection campaign is firing back with a gift for donors of $25 or more. A T-shirt featuring a picture of the president and the words, "Made in the USA" in bold print. On the back, the long-form Hawaiian birth certificate the White House released just a few weeks ago. A picture of the shirt, by the way, is at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The government learns a lot from natural disasters. It sets up offices to monitor hurricanes and earthquakes, for instance. So what'd they learn from our most recent financial disaster?
Here's the hazardous forecast for the mortgage markets. For tomorrow, there is a slight risk of increased foreclosures and a possible housing bubble.
I'm Kai Rizdal, monitoring our financial health. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.